together. All right, Exodus 19. Today, we're going to take a little deviation from the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to talk about preparing ourselves for retreat. Really, more than anything else, preparing ourselves to encounter God. And so I'm going to talk about this experience that the Israelites had when they encountered God. And so let's turn to Exodus 19. We're going to read just verse 10 and 11. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Exodus 19, 10. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one of our ushers makes sure you get one. But you can look on the screen for this. And the Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Let me read again. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them." In other words, dedicate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments. Let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we bless you. We want to prepare ourselves, God, to encounter you. Lord, we do encounter you every day, but especially as a community, God, we want to encounter you. We want to step into the fullness, Lord, of what you have in store for us for this journey, God, that we call every year our annual retreat. And so would you come down, God? Lord, you've prepared, God, the speakers. God, you prepared the venue. You prepared the meals. You prepared the buses, God. You prepared our visas, our passes. You prepared everything, God, for us to come into this place to meet with you as a body. But Lord, now you ask us to prepare ourselves this week. And so we do, God. And so I pray that you would bless this message, Lord, that you would speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So this is going to be short and sweet. But then I always say that, and it ends up being long. But trust me, this is my shortest. This is one page and one quarter. That's like a record for me. And so we'll see how this goes. But like I said, I really felt God speak to me about get the people ready to encounter the Lord. And so as I've been praying these last few weeks, just get the people ready. And I was really drawn to this passage in Exodus. And if you remember this passage in Exodus, it's when the people finally left Egypt and God was going to come down in his glory. And he was going to, at the end of this, he was going to reveal his law. The Ten Commandments were going to be given to the people at that time. And so this was an incredibly sacred moment. And so God told Moses, "Moses, I want you to go down," after he had spent time with them, "I want you to go down. I want you to consecrate, dedicate the people." In other words, call them sacred. Bring them out of the secular and call them sacred in this place and consecrate them, dedicate them to the Lord over these 2 days. And then wash their clothes. Tell them to go do laundry. In other words, it's talking about the purification, this idea of being pure and clean before God. And then he says, on the third day, I'm going to come down. And further on, he says, create barriers so that these guys can't come near the mountain because the presence, the glory, the power of God is going to come down. And then he gives them the law. He gives them the very thing that sets them apart from every other people on the face of the earth. But the key word there is he said, prepare them to meet with me. Go. Consecrate, which includes prayer. It could have included fasting. It included dedicating themselves to the Lord. And then take care of all of your stuff. Wash your clothes and then come to the foot of this mountain. And God says, I'm going to come down into this place. You know, as our retreat is coming up this week, let's prepare ourselves to encounter the Lord. Right? Having an encounter with God, especially the God of the universe, requires some preparation in our lives. You know, sometimes, and I find this very true of myself as well, sometimes we often forget who we're talking to when we enter into prayer. Sometimes we forget that he is the God of the universe. Sometimes we forget that he holds my breath in his very hands. And it's by his mercy that I'm sitting here on this stage even sharing with you. We, many times as believers, we get so flippant with God. We're too familiar with him in this way. And as a result, we lose sight of in ways we call this fear of the Lord that comes upon us. Right? In the Old Testament, when people came into the presence of God, they came at their own peril. It was dangerous. Don't you? We're actually reading the Screwtape Letters right now in our staff meeting, and we're just going through a chapter a day because it's so rich and so deep. And so we've been teaching on C.S. Lewis's work, and there's a part in one of the chapters, and Lewis is actually referencing one of his works, which is the Chronicles of Narnia. And the Chronicles of Narnia is the lion Aslan. Remember this huge lion which represented Jesus. And the whole idea of Aslan is when they came before him, he says, he's not safe, that he's dangerous, but we can trust him because he's good. And I think that's such a great depiction of how we should go before the Lord. Our God is not safe. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, and says, God is not safe. God is dangerous, but he's good. He'll never violate his goodness. He's good, and that's why we can trust him. And Lewis really does this beautiful depiction of what I'm going to call today, and we talk about one of our values is pursuing the radical middle. I'll give you another one today. You know, word and spirit, truth and grace. I'll give you another radical middle that we pursue as a community. Friendship and fear. Friendship and fear. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Say friendship and fear. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In Exodus 33, the Lord speaks to Moses, and you know, all things happen. Remember, this is when they made the golden calf and all these things. And then God is describing the relationship that he has with Moses. And he says, with Moses, he says, I speak face to face like a friend. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, God is our friend. He speaks to us. I mean, we're not quite like Moses, but remember the veil is torn now. And so we can come into his holy holies and he speaks to us like a friend. And then Moses, because out of that friendship, he has the audacity to say, oh God, show me your glory. And then what does God say in Exodus 34? He says, okay, I'll show you my glory, but I'm going to pass by. But if you see my face, I'm going to have to kill you. Man, what a drastic. Exodus 33, Exodus 34. Exodus 33, you're my friend. I speak to you face to face. And then, Lord, show me your glory. And then all of a sudden, Exodus 34, well, if you want to see my face, I'll have to kill you. So let me just hide you in the rock, and my glory is going to pass by. It's the friendship and the fear. God is our friend. You shouldn't be afraid of him in that regard, because he is our friend. He's our Lord. He's the lover of our soul. He desires an intimate relationship with us. But at the same time, we can't be too flippant. We can't just sin, do whatever we want to do, and expect God is going to be, God will be there for us because he'll never leave us or forsake us. But we can't expect that we're going to enter into that same quality of relationship. When we have all these different things that are moving on in our lives, it's the friendship and it's the fear. This is how we pursue this radical middle. And when we pursue God fully with friendship and at the same time pursue God fully in the fear of the Lord, we come to this middle space. Listen, I didn't say balance. We don't like the word balance here because balance usually means compromise in some way. So we're not talking about compromise. We're talking about pursuing the friendship of God with all of our might and pursuing the fear of the Lord with all of our might. And when we're moving in these polar opposites at the same time, we come to this radical middle of the friendship and the fear. In the same way we come to this radical middle in the Word and the Spirit. We pursue the Spirit with all of our heart, and we pursue God with all of our heart. And then when we're pursuing radically, fully, then we create this radical middle where it's the Word and the Spirit really come alive. In that same way, it's the friendship and the fear. Don't forget who you're praying to. Don't forget, right, when we enter into prayer or we enter into worship, he is an awesome, awesome God. He gives us each day of our lives, and he actually gives us the very breath. Our very breath comes from him and him alone. He is the creator of all things who holds our lives in his hands. He is holy, and there is none like him. You know, one of my favorite songs is when I first became a Christian. And some of you guys may know this. It's a really old, old song. It says, "There is none like him." And I remember one morning when I was actually in chapel in school, right after I became a Christian, in our chapel they were singing this song. And you just kind of sing. And then the reality of those words really sunk in my heart. And I remember just, back in those days, even now, I don't really want to be a demonstrative believer. You know, I just want to be calm, cool, and collected. And I remember just falling on my knees in chapel and just weeping before the Lord because I realized there is none like him. Who is like our Lord? Who is like him? Who is as majestic? Who is as beautiful? Who is as radiant as our God? Who is forgiving like our God? Who created the world with the word? He looked out and most likely after Lucifer fell from heaven and darkness was covering the earth. And then God said, "We got to change this picture." And he said, "Let there be light." And at the word, boom, light happens. Who, brothers and sisters, is like that? Who is like our God? Magnificent, radiant, everlasting, beautiful, powerful in his nature, loving kindness. Who can look at our lives? Who formed and created each one of us even before our parents even thought about us or thought about each other? And he created us, and he says we're fearfully, wonderfully made. Who is like our God? Remember, that's who you're talking to. That's who you're worshiping. That's who you're coming before every single morning when you wake up. And you offer those prayers. That's who you're praying to. It's the friendship and the fear. There is none like him. In Exodus 19, he rescues the people of Israel from the Egyptians. And he's ready to meet them face to face to establish a new covenant. So a new chapter is arising for the people. Now they were slaves and now they're free. And he comes in to bring this new covenant. And so God commanded Moses to have the people take a full 2 days to consecrate themselves both physically and spiritually before this meeting. And then the third day, he came down and spoke directly to his people in thunder and lightning through a dense cloud from on top of the mountain. This is our God. And he says to the people, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. See, many of us in church, and myself included, I forget who God is. We become very flippant, and we don't really prepare ourselves to meet with him. Let me ask you, just don't raise your hand or anything. Just let your own witness in your heart. How many of you guys woke up this morning and prepared to worship the Lord? Not by taking a shower. I hope you did that, by the way. I'm not talking about just brushing your teeth and eating breakfast. But how many of you knew that you're going to come into the presence of the living God, and you spent some time and said, "Lord, thank you." Or said, "Lord, I'm coming, you know, prepare my heart." I mean, just think about it. How many of us really woke up this morning and said, "I'm going to come to worship the Lord as a community. I'm going to come to sing songs of praise to Jesus." And how many of you prepared yourselves to do that? How many just kind of walked in like, it's another Sunday. I'm just going to walk in and do my thing. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I mean, really, how many of us really prepared ourselves? Think about this at work. You have a job, you have work, you know you have a meeting with somebody, maybe someone that's important. What do? You prepare. You look over your presentation. You make sure you say the right words, right? You're going over your dialogue. You make sure that all your PowerPoint and everything is in order if that's kind of your presentation or whatever. You know, whatever business deal that you're working with and you're meeting someone important, you prepare yourself. You make sure you're wearing your best suit or, you know, your nicest tie or your lucky tie or however else you do these things. And you prepare yourselves for this meeting for an important person. But yet, we come before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we came very flippant. We came in with a laissez-faire attitude. You may have had the friendship down, but you missed the fear. It's the friendship and the fear comes together. Right? You think about what you're going to say. You prepared for important people at work. Or maybe some of your friends, and you prepared to meet with your friends. But yet, again, meeting with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we didn't have much preparation. We just woke up and showered. Actually, some of you guys didn't even shower, and you came. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the shower. Maybe you shower at night. Just move on from that one, okay? But how many of us, I mean, really, how many of us prepared ourselves to meet with him today? I mean, really prepared ourselves and just thought, I'm coming in as a body to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this awesome, powerful God that controls my life in his hands, that controls my every breath. I mean, how many of us really prepared for that? Henry Blackaby, from Experiencing God, Blackaby says this. He says, meeting with God requires preparation. God is awesome and perfectly holy. Barging into his presence unprepared is an affront. Genuine worship requires spiritual preparation. Your experiences of worship reflect your spiritual preparation. Prepare yourself now for your next encounter with God. Prepare yourself now for your next encounter with God. Again, it's the friendship and the fear. If we lean too much to the fear, then we lose sight of who God is. And we get afraid of what this is. It's the friendship. It's Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. And they come together to create this radical middle. It really is the friendship and the fear. I think in most churches, or I'm going to say at SP, we're probably quite aligned with friendship. And we're probably very lacking in fear. This is why R.T. Kendall, when he was here last in November, and I'm going to share this with you guys, and he was leaving for his trip, and so we were actually at Crystal Jade at the airport. And this is when I asked R.T., I said, R.T., can you, I asked him before, and I said, hey, can you really pray about, can you be an advisor to our church? Can you be a father and really speak life into this body? I felt a real affinity towards him and towards our body. He loved our church. And so I said, can you like speak life into our church? And RT, and he was like this really like deathly silence. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's trying to say no. And so I'm just kind of waiting for him. And he's just really quiet. And he's kind of intense. And his brow is furrowed. And he goes, well, he says, I'm glad that you asked. Because he said this morning he was praying, because I'd asked him a few days before, but he didn't answer me at all. He didn't say anything. He just changed the topic. And so I was like, okay, something's wrong here. And then he actually said, I put out a fleece to the Lord this morning. And I said that if Pastor asked me again, that I'm going to say yes. And so thank God I had the guts to ask him again, right? Because no one likes to be rejected, right? And so I asked him again, and then the first thing he says, this is the first lesson. This is the first thing that I want to tell you and tell your church. And he says, and this is what he said, he says, teach them the fear of the Lord. You know, when he said that, I started getting really afraid. I mean, I felt, my wife was with me too, both of us, we felt chills go down our spine. As we knew he was right, he said, teach them the fear of the Lord. And hopefully that's what we're trying to do throughout. And teach them what it really means to fear the Lord. And R.T. says the modern church has lost the fear of the Lord. And then I asked him, and I said, hey, are there any good books? Because I usually learn through reading. And he says, are there any good books that will really help? You know what his son said? He goes, all of my dad's. Right? Basically, every one of my dad's books, those things will help you. And so, obviously, I got a whole bunch of his books. And I've been reading them ever since. But really, in this part, the friendship and the fear. We very much lean towards the friendship part. And that's good. That's healthy. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't forget, there's the other side. There's the fear. There's the Aslan. He's not safe. He's dangerous. But he's good. And that's why we can trust him, is finding that radical middle. And so let's prepare ourselves this week. We have a few days. We have a little more than 3 days that the Israelites had. We have a few days to kind of get things in order so that we can really meet with him. Can you, think about this, brothers and sisters. Imagine what our experience will be like together as a body If we spent this week consecrating ourselves, dedicating ourselves to the Lord, taking care of business, cleansing ourselves, you know, the idea of washing our clothes and washing our garments and cleaning house and these kind of things. Obviously, that was a physical thing, but I think it represented a spiritual thing of cleansing. And we came before the Lord, and we came before the Lord together. You know, Sunday, when the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we should not forsake the meeting and gathering together, you know what makes Sunday so dynamic? It's when we, as individuals, we have a personal relationship with God that's manifested corporately, but we have a personal relationship with God. Not, it's not individual, it's a personal relationship. And Monday through Saturday, we're spending time with Jesus. We're being filled with the Spirit Monday through Saturday. And we're having our quiet times, and we're worshiping Him, and we're serving Him at work, and we're serving Him at house church, and we're serving Him as we serve our families, and we're dedicating and we're giving ourselves to the Lord. And then we come on Sunday, and it's kind of like, imagine being filled all week long, and God's filling you and filling you. And then when we come on Sunday, we're overflowing. And so when we come on Sunday and I bump into David, and because I'm overflowing, I'm splashing all over David, and David's overflowing and he's splashing all over me, and the joy of the Lord is happening, and we have this such amazing experiences with God. But what generally happens in the modern church is that we have Sunday and we get filled, and then Monday we go to work, and then Tuesday, and then Thursday, Wednesday is after Tuesday, and Thursday, right, and Friday. Sorry, I didn't sleep that long last night. And all these things, and then we come on Sunday empty. And so that's why we don't have a lot of life. We come in, we drag, and it takes us three songs to finally start worshiping, and then it's almost over. We got one more song left. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It takes so much time just to quiet all the voices, and you know, you got a work situation, and you got a family thing, and all these things are bombarding you, and it takes you three songs just to quiet. In fact, most of you guys are late, so you only have one song anyway, and so you come in late, and then you can't really worship the Lord, and you're empty. And then, by the grace of God, as the corporate worship, as the message and the response, and God fills you up, and you're full, and what you're meant to do is go to work and spill over as you spend time with God, as He fills you up every day. Remember, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's present tense imperative. It's meant to be an ongoing action. And then that happens, and you get filled, and then you, later on, you get filled, and you're filling, and then you're spilling over, and then you come on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and it's literally a pool party. You know what I mean? We're like, the Spirit of the Lord inside is spilling over everywhere around us. That's what church is meant to be. Instead of we're dragging ourselves in the morning in church, and because we feel so empty, the world has wiped us out. Instead of us wiping the world out, being so filled with God, and imagine what's like spilling over your boss, spilling, you know, over your unsaved mom, and just the joy of the Lord and the presence of Jesus. You're literally leaking everywhere around you. That's the life of the Spirit. That's the life of God that He wants us to live. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The word actually, the word abundantly is actually better translated as overflowing. It's the same vision, this idea, this fountain of living water that's living inside of us, and you're literally overflowing in this way. But we come so empty. Now, that was a vision of Sunday. This is a challenge for us this week. Imagine what that's like when we go. We'll leave this place and we prepare ourselves. Monday, we prepare ourselves before the Lord. In other words, I mean, it's just part of just having quiet time. It's waking up, it's just dedicating that day to Jesus. It's saying, God, today, this is for you. I'm focused on you. I'm praying to you. I'm gonna serve you in what way? Lord, show me what to do. Remember, some of you guys, we just did EG. God is always at work around us. And it's noticing where God's working and joining God in what He's doing. And that's happening all week long. And Tuesday we wake up and we spend time with Jesus and we get filled with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God. And we're praying to Him out of the genuineness of our heart. And God starts moving our life. And then we spend the day serving the Lord through all different avenues, by working at work and by feeding your kids and taking care of your kids and going to school. And we serve God through all these different avenues. And then Wednesday we wake up and we do the same thing. We get filled with Jesus and He fills our life and we're spilling over everywhere. And then Thursday night, we come together Can you imagine the cataclysmic effect of all of us spilling over on everybody? This is like, I mean, this would be like an ocean. And then anointed preacher Bobby comes on the stage, and he shares the word. And because we've been spending time with the Lord all week long, the word becomes even sharper. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me just say something. There's never a boring preacher. Honestly, when the word of God is preached, there's never a boring preacher. There's only a boring audience. Now, I'm not just saying it's all your fault, okay? Because, I mean, a preacher should prepare and all these kinds of things. But I remember when I went to church before I was saved. And so I went because, you know, it was free food. And I'll be honest, there were pretty girls. And so it was kind of a thing to do. And then afterwards, we played sports. And so it was kind of a community thing. So I went to church. And I thought he was really boring. It was actually Dr. Ryan Chang. You guys know he's not boring. Seriously, I thought he was really boring. And my whole thing is I had to endure 40 minutes so I could play sports with my friends and eat free food. It was in my head. I just had to endure 40 minutes. And then I got saved. I got radically saved over one weekend. It was actually, I went on a mission trip to Mexico. I came back, and Saturday night, I gave my life to Jesus. The presence of God came to my room. And I mean, I cried for like 2 hours. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner. And then, I cried for an hour, realized that I had really grieved God. And then I realized he saved me by grace. And for the next hour, I was crying with joy, just thanking him for saving me. And that was my salvation experience. And then I came to church the next Sunday. Oh my goodness, his sermons were incredible. I'm serious. And it was like, you know, I remember turning around and says, has he always been like this? Like, is he on steroids this day or something? Because this message is incredible. And the next week, it was even more incredible. And I realized, actually, it wasn't the message. It wasn't the messenger. It was the person receiving it. And I had not prepared myself. I just, you know, maybe I wanted to be entertained more than I wanted the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God, when it goes forth, it accomplishes its purposes. It will not return back void. And so when the Word of God is preached, it has power. It does something in our lives. Listen, there's never a boring preacher. There's only a boring audience. Right? And so you got to make sure that as we prepare, can you imagine we prepare ourselves every week and we come before the Lord, God moves in our lives. This is the vision that we have for us in this place. This is really what God wants to do in our lives. We have a few days to really prepare ourselves. Get your stuff in order. Cleanse yourself. If you're doing stuff that you know that is displeasing to the Lord, throw it away. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Repent and return that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what Peter said in Acts. He said very simply, repent and return so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Cleanse yourself. If you have an attitude right now and you're like, this retreat's an annual thing, repent. Ask God to give you a new heart. Ask God to put excitement into your heart that we're going to come together, not because we have great speakers or, you know, I mean, God's blessed us in that way, but because we get to go together as a community and worship God together. We get to get away from Hong Kong, get away from the world, get away from our jobs, get away from our duties, get away from all these things to just go out and meet with Jesus. What an incredible opportunity that God gives us to do that. But prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Seek his face. Take care of business. Whatever it may be, whatever is dragging you down right now, this week, take care of business, cleanse yourself, and then come before the Lord ready to receive. And this is what I've been praying this whole time. I've been praying that we would come in so filled with God and that we would have such a cataclysmic encounter with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit that when we come back, we'll be totally changed. I'm praying that this retreat would be unlike any other retreat we've ever had before. And we're blessed that now we have two speakers, and so we're hoping there's a lot more energy that they're able to bring and their unique gifts as well into our body in this way. So I had more stuff, but that's really all I wanted to say. Let me close with this, right? Jeremiah 29, 11, really simple. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." It says, "And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Here's a key. I think it was bolded in my notes, but "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he says, "And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Amen. Let's close our eyes. Worship team, come. Let's position ourselves for the retreat, for an encounter. And it may not be just for you, but for someone around you that really needs to meet with God. Even though they may be empty, let's pray that we would spill over on them. This is the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters, this week. This is the now word, the fresh bread. Prepare yourself. Consecrate yourself. Take care of business. Wash your garments. Wash your hands. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to falsehood, nor sworn deceitfully. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of their salvation. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's start right now. As the worship team leads us in a song, I just want to open up the altar. And let's start here. Let's not wait for Thursday. Let's start right here in our preparation. And let's humble ourselves. Let's come before this awesome God, kneeling with reverence and respect, and say, "Lord, I'm here. God, I'm here to meet with you. Lord, come and meet with me." Let's start right now. The preparation starts right now. As much as you parents will prepare food for your kids for the retreat, even more so, let's prepare our hearts to meet with God. So team leads us. Go ahead, come, just come. Kneel before the Lord. Just spend time with Jesus. And say, "God, I'm here right now. I'm here. I'm preparing myself, Lord. Help me this week to consecrate myself before you." Go ahead, Nate.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do, yeah. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I would love you, Lord, my Savior. I will love you, Lord, my Shield. And I will love you, Lord, my Rock. Forever, all my days, I will. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. I will love you, Lord. I will love you.
Can you grab somebody? If you're kneeling here, just grab someone next to you. Let's just pray for each other right now. Pray for preparation this week. If you're sitting down, just grab somebody. Make sure you're connected to somebody here. Let's pray. Pray for the person left and right of you. If you want, you guys sitting down, you guys can stand up, make it a little easier. Just grab somebody and let's pray for them. Let's pray for preparation. Let's pray that God would get us ready, that we would come without any baggage. Just pray that, Lord, no baggage, God, to this retreat. Let's pray for a powerful encounter with Jesus the Christ, the living Christ. He's not dead, He's alive. Pray the Holy Spirit would fall afresh on them. Thank you, God. Rise to our feet and let's sing this together as we lift up our voices to the Lord.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. Lord, my help comes from. Yes, Lord, give me wisdom. You know just what to do, yeah. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you. I will love you. I will love you, Lord, my strength. Oh, I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days I will love you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our God reigns. Yes, Lord, hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever all my days, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Oh, hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever
Let's pray together. Father, we take these words, God, to our heart today, the challenge, Lord, to prepare ourselves. God, and even as Moses, God, cried out and prayed for the people, God, I stand in that place, Lord. God, as a father of this house, and I pray right now, you dedicate each one. We consecrate each one to you, God, that they would prepare themselves this week, God. Get their life in order, Father. Cleanse their garments, Lord. Do whatever it takes, God, to spend time with you, Lord, that we would run, God, to our encounter. Instead of limping, God, to that place, we want to run into that place, Lord. And so would you help us? Would you consecrate us, God? Would you wake us up, Lord, in the morning, Lord, to be with you, God? Let's just say, Lord, every morning we wake up saying, Jesus, I love you. Let me know what you want to do to this day, how you want to use me. I am your servant. I'm here, your vessel. God, let our attitudes change, God. Let them be transformed. I pray that our wills would align to your will, that this is are the days of preparation, God, for the encounter with Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Let's receive the benediction. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Why don't you hug someone next to you? Say, thanks for praying for me. And say, let's prepare ourselves this week.